Blog Talk Radio.
What you working for? Going hard? A big house? A new car? Live your life like a Hollywood star? But do you know who you are? Or do you know what your purpose on earth is? All the materials you worship is worth it. It ain't about money, cars, and clothes, and everything that glitter ain't gold.
Hustle, hustle, hustle. What are you hustling for?
Good question.
You say it's all about the money, and not perfection of your soul. In the gutter where your mind at. Ooh, I bet the devil like that. We let him have his fun, but now we got him on the run. Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jag.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jag. Sublime with the punchline. Spiritual warrior. Live from the front line. My third eye is precise as a bird's eye. Everything looks small, that's what I call fly. Before your past words gotta decode it, I'm lyrical with minds. Witness the explosion. The mouthpiece carries 16 rounds. Every 16 bars, another MC down. Do what I wanna do, the architect told me to. Destroy all you sellouts and who you sold it to. I came to bring the game, freedom and justice. Ain't no equality, ain't nobody hot as me. The techniques and bias of my survival. Lyrically, I can go my life unrivaled. Microphone checker, the diabolic one is the oppressor. But in this case, we the aggressors. I'm on the higher echelon, enlightenment. The sun is absorbed by my melanin. Black jaguars, we the best, gotta represent. Devils hate to see a black man with intelligence. Praise to Allah, I deliver the message with poetic justice, rhythm and eloquence. He left his message with those who believe. It happened in the divine rhyme scheme of things. They won't beef, but I'm a vegetarian. One nation under God, soldier, Samaritan. Now everybody raise your right hand and say, permission to fall into Muhammad ranks.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jag.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black jaguar.
Black on black jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Bilal is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jaguar.
Hamam is the jag.
Of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and comforter, and I would like to greet all of you in our greeting words of peace, of assalamu alaikum. I would like to welcome all of you to our live study group, Put on the New Man. Thank all of you who are joining us in the various chat rooms. And at this time, I would like to present to you our beloved brother, our host, our minister, our friend, a devoted brother, a wonderful FOI, a wonderful Wiley, and of course, a wonderful teacher and believer in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It is my privilege, honor, and pleasure to present to you student minister James Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir. Brother James?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you now.
Oh, very good. I certainly hope we don't experience any technical difficulties at this time. I can never and probably will never get used to the flowery introduction of me that you always give, dear sister, and I always have to say, by the grace of Allah, one day I may approximate some of the accolades that you extend to me. I want to thank you, dear sister, for the wonderful introduction.
Yes, and, sir. Now, Brother James, thank you. Did you find your right earplugs? Because we're still getting a lot of static.
Oh, you are?
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Okay, then perhaps I need to change. Hopefully, I can fix that. Hold on for a second.
Can you hear me better now without the static?
Yes, sir.
You know, what about you, Brother Marcus? Can you hear me without the static?
I can, sir.
And did you hear static before?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. I'm going to have to go through this whole show then on the speakerphone. And if you can hear me clearly, wonderful.
Yes, sir. We can hear you just perfectly.
Excellent. All praise is due to Allah.
And before we bring on Brother Marcus, I just want to tell the listening audience, I see all of you who are on the phones. However, those of you who are in Blog Talk chat, I cannot see you. Blog Talk is having some issues. I don't know if you have questions or not at this time, but there is an issue with the phones, but we understand from Blog Talk engineers that the audio is working fine, but the phones may have some difficulty. So if we're not taking your questions, it's only because we're not able to at this time, but the engineers at Blog Talk are working on it. For those of you who are trying to get into the chat room, go to my other chat room, Gidget, G-I-D-G-E-T, Muhammad, M-U-H-A-M-M-A-D, @gmail.com. A lot of you are already familiar with that Google chat. Go to that chat room, and that is up and running. And so we can take your questions via chat as well. But thank you for your patience at this time. Okay, Brother James, take it away. I'm going to be on Google, on chat with Blog Talk to get this straight. But go ahead.
Very good. Tonight, my dear family and the listening audience, we are very, very happy and honored to present to most of you, but introduce to some of you, our beloved brother and sister, wonderful marriage couple who heads up the marriage retreat effort every year. You can hear them every Sunday at 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, dealing with the essentials of marriage, courtship, and related subjects. It is my great honor and privilege to present to you our beloved brother Marcus Muhammad and our dear sister Cecilia Muhammad, his wonderful wife. And I'd like very much, Brother Marcus, if you can give us some information about yourself, how you got started, something about your sojourn in the nation. I know you sent me your bio, but I'd like to hear it from both you and your wonderful wife, if you don't mind. And I'm sure the listening audience would love to hear from you as well.
Thank you so very much, Brother James. All praise is due to Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. We thank Allah over and over for his careful choice and selection of a simple Georgia-born black man and his raising him from mental death, mental slavery, and giving him power and victory over that death. And he found a Georgia-born black man in Detroit by the name of Elijah Poole. And Elijah Poole, of course, became Elijah Kareem, and Elijah Kareem became Elijah Muhammad. And we thank Allah for the transformation and the stories that we learn of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his beautiful meeting with Master Farah Muhammad, and his sacrifice and his careful search among the nation at that time to find the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a man that is really, we can't describe the kind of beauty that resides in that man's soul, his love for us, his desires for us, his will for our people is so beautiful and is so strong. And I'm just fortunate, I honestly feel this way, to be on the same planet with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in their names that I greet you, and my wife greets you as well. Hoping and praying to Allah that all of you are feeling well tonight, that all of you tonight are in the best of health and in the best of spirit, and that Allah is blessing your family to come through what you have been facing probably for maybe 6 months to a year, some longer than that, 2 years, some even 3 to 4, 5 years. We just pray Allah will bless you to stay steadfast and remember that the race is not to the swift, nor is it to the strong. But the Bible says, Brother James, as you well know, that the race is to those who can endure to the very end. And all of us in 2013 are going to be tried to the nth degree to test our commitment to see whether we are truthful people when we said we wanted to help the minister, that whether we were truthful people when we said that we were of those who wanted to show Allah, God, our gratitude, our thanks for him raising a messenger, raising the apostle for us. We are being tested right now on our word that we gave. And I'm just thankful to be here tonight with you all. My wife, the same, and she'll be talking in just a little bit. We started our journey together, Brother James, way back in high school. We were high school sweethearts, and I remember it like it was yesterday when I first saw her, and it was like the heavens opened up, and it just confirmed that she was the one. Now this player.
Listen, that's very truthful, but we appreciate hearing it, brother. Go right ahead. Yes, sir.
No, we were young people. We didn't know nothing about each other. Probably even wasn't looking for each other. But that's when Allah chose to reveal her to me. I knew kind of instinctively, and she'll tell you that I told her when we were first really getting acquainted with each other. And I don't know where it came from. Please don't ask me where it came from. But I told her, she reminded me one day when we were indeed in the process of marriage, she said that I told her when we were very young and just starting out, getting to know each other, that one day we were going to be married and that our first child was going to be a son, a boy. And it did happen that way. We were married at 19 years old in Atlanta, Georgia, at Muhammad's Mosque, number 15, and 21 years later, we are still together, still in love with each other, still working through all of our issues, working through all of our struggles, still on the grind to make it through. what we have had to face. And Allah, I heard the Honorable Louis Farrakhan say, and there's so much in the little things that Brother Farrakhan says. You know, it's not the big explosive statements that he makes that you should be attuned to, but you should be listening to the simple, practical advice of a messenger of God. And if Minister Farrakhan is not a messenger of God, I don't know who is. Because his messages have helped to shape me into a man. His messages have helped to shape my wife into a woman, and a woman for me, and me a husband for her. And he's such a beautiful and magnificent teacher, and that's why we have to take our time to study what he has had to say on this subject or that subject, because we will find that the minister doesn't waste words, and he is a man that really is working for our direct benefit. I've been blessed to be in the ministry for nearly 20 years, a student of the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, and the particular aspect that I believe Allah has blessed me and Cecilia to want to work to help the minister in is to help him to stop divorce in the nation, because too many of us are getting divorced, and we get divorced and we get married for very trivial reasons. The number one blight against many of us as Muslims is we are not as committed and to each other as we should be. But it's really the root of it is that we're not committed to our own self and our own self-development. And so why would we think that we could get married to somebody and have the staying power that it requires if we're not even committed to our own black self and our own personal growth and our own mental stability? We're not committed as we need to be. Commitment from us and the nation and among our brothers and sisters can perhaps be described as an all-time low, because we're just people who don't give out. We give our word, but we don't mean what we say. And that bothers me a great deal. It bothers Cecilia, and many of us have what you might classify as commitment phobia, you know, where we have a very healthy fear of commitment to anything and anyone. And so 21 years later, Cecilia and I are still together by the grace of Allah. We, as you pointed out, we do a marriage retreat. We've been doing it now. This is our fourth year. To do the facilitation of the marriage retreat. The idea was conceived by our dear sister Deborah Tuex Washington, who is a believer in Muhammad's Mosque 55 in Memphis, Tennessee. And she asked me and Cecilia to do the marriage retreat as a facilitators, and we haven't looked back. And the marriage retreat is really for couples who want to do it better, who want to learn how to talk to one another, who want to learn how to work together, want to rekindle what they used to have. You know, Brother James, a lot of us, we don't necessarily understand the changes that happen in marriage, that it's not always one way. Marriages, as you well know as a married man yourself, marriages, they are like roller coasters. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. And you may be well prepared for the ups in your marriage and in your life, but whoever teaches you how to prepare for the downs that you are going to naturally experience. See, and that's one of the things that we have to do even with our children. You and I, we're not good parents if we don't allow our children to experience downs in their life and teach them how to weather the storms that come into even their young lives. We have to allow them to experience disappointment. We have to allow them to see mama and daddy go through things in life and in marriage so that when they grow older, they'll have a reference point and they will have hopefully seen us go through whatever we were facing with faith in God. And that's the one thing that they got to see, that we're exercising something called faith. And our faith is going to be seen through. Allah did not bring us here to leave us here. And you have to constantly talk faith to your children. You have to tell them about faith, and then you also have to simultaneously tell them about works. For faith without works is dead.
That's
so,
right.
You know, as we get started tonight, I know we're just introducing ourselves, brother, but as you can see, you know, you've been in this work as long as we've been in this work. You know, you're so happy to have an audience to talk to and just to encourage them and increase them in faith. And nothing will test your faith like marriage will. Nothing will stretch you like marriage will. I've been stretched any which way but loose in this marriage. You know, I've gone so many different directions in marriage, and, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see what you're made of, you know. So the woman that has helped me to do all of this stretching and bending and, moving around has been this queen next to me, and that's Sister Cecilia. She's been my lifelong companion in this. We grew into adulthood together. You know, when you're so young, when you're married, we were married in the process at 19 years old. Mm. And so now we're in our 40s together. By Allah's grace, I just reached 40 last year. And, you know, they say a man doesn't even become a man until he turns 40, Brother James.
Yes,
so I finally reached spiritual maturity.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I thank Allah, you know, and I'm feeling some of the things that happen, they say, to a man at 40. You know, I'm a lot more patient than I used to be. That's one thing for sure. And I think that comes about when a man gets to what they might describe as midlife. My wife is laughing at me. Let me give her the phone so I can laugh at her. This is Cecilia.
Brother Marcus, we certainly want to hear from our dear sister Cecilia. Before we do, though, I just want to remind the audience that the theme of tonight's show, the first segment, is entitled Marriage, the Cornerstone of Family. And we are blessed to have as our guests Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia Muhammad. And I want the listening audience, if at all possible, barring any technical difficulties, to get involved, to call in, to ask your questions and to make your comments. And Brother Marcus, I love the way you put it in your bio that you and our dear sister Cecilia have been in the process of becoming married for the last 20 years. And
yeah,
I want you to expound on that at some point in this segment, but right now we'd love to hear from Sister Cecilia. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister.
Wa alaikum salam, family. I am so excited to be here with you tonight, and just to share some of the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we have acquired from our beloved teacher and guide and reminder in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Because, again, without a strong family, I was just doing some studying before the show and just reminding myself of what the minister said, that without a strong family, with a strong family, we have the potential to be a strong nation. And I was so interested to see that he used the word potential to be a strong nation. And so with Brother Marcus and myself's union, by God's grace and permission, we have produced 6 children, 4 boys and 2 girls. And our oldest one is, he's 20, our daughter's 18, the next one is 16, 14, 12, 9. And I'm saying all that to let the family know that, you know, we are a growing family in the sense that all our children are now starting to transition into this world that we're so fearful of them to transition in. But with our prayers and with what we have been able to teach them and impart to them, that they will be able to stand what they're going to have to deal with and go through. And that's a part of that unit, the unifying of the mother and the father to help prepare, like the minister keep telling us, to prepare the future generation to be not just project dwellers, but nation builders. And it starts with our homes, what we give and feed ourselves and our children in our homes that will prepare them to one day replace us in our nation and to take it further and further along. So as we've heard the Honorable Louis Farrakhan go to the different colleges and schools in the past year to year and a half and telling our young people that they have to take on subjects and matters that are nation-building skills that we need. We need the doctors. We need the engineers. We need the things that help propel our nation forward. And so as parents, as husband and wife, we are that foundation for our future. And we have to look at ourselves as the foundation. And even on our show that we do, we always like to say that we cannot just focus on, well, it's just me and my family. No, we are part of a community. We are part of a nation, not just a nation in the hells of North America, but we are part of the universal nation. And that's how we have to prepare our children and our future. And so when we think of ourselves as husbands and wives and the trials and the tribulations come, we have to grow past our own emotion of getting tied up into the emotion of our anger, of our displeasure, of our disappointment, and look past what we're going through to prepare our children for a future that we may never see their total future, but to prepare them for it. And we prepare them first by being an example to them of what is the right thing to do. And for a lot of us, we all are striving to show them that right way, but to know that from us, they learn what to do and what not to do. So that's why marriage and family is so important and so key, because we really don't understand the trauma that goes along when we do things that don't prepare our children for it. We see it. We see the statistics. We hear the statistics of what happens when we're not able to hold on to that family unit. But we want to change that. We have the power to change it, and we just got to move forward and to do just that, to change it by building up our strength and our resolve to build a strong family and a strong nation.
Wonderful, wonderful advice and encouragement, dear sister. And we certainly want to expand on that. I'd like to give the listening audience, who I am sure have questions that they'd like to direct to you, as the alarming statistics report that relationships overall in the human family, but particularly and specifically in the Black community, oftentimes don't lead up to marriage, and when it does, it soon ends in divorce. So I'm going to ask if Sister Queen Aziza, if you can access any of those who might be in queue who want to get in on this conversation, ask a question of our esteemed guest, or make a comment, or are there any perhaps online? Wow, are you all there?
We're here.
Yeah. Oh. All right. I think we may have lost Queen Aziza. She can't hear me.
No, sir. I'm here. I'm dealing with the technical issues, but go ahead. The audio is still fine.
Also, can you hear Jack? access the audience yet so that they can participate?
I'm sorry?
I was asking if we could access the audience. Does the audience have access either online or on the phone?
They have it in chat, but give me a minute. But if you all will go ahead and proceed, give me about 5 minutes, and everything should be back up. I have to refresh the screen.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Well, Brother Marcus?
Yes?
I'd like you to talk about, while we have this time, your highly acclaimed book directed to teenage males entitled The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. And, of course, you're working on a project, What Do Men and Women Really Need from Each Other? The titles are inspiring. And I'd certainly like to know something of the content. So marriage has been such a misunderstood institution, and as a result of the misunderstanding, I believe it has been an institution that seems to be failing by and large, and specifically and particularly in the black community. Can you give us some insight on that, dear brother, while we're awaiting participation of the audience?
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Thank you for that question, Brother James. Yes, by Allah's grace, we have a book that is available called The Wise Men and Women Have Sent Me to Tell You. And that book is really an acknowledgement of my acceptance of my personal responsibility to Allah, God, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Mr. Farrakhan, to take the message to the young people. And that is what this book is. This is a wonderful primer for a young person that maybe has even grown up in Islam, but is not quite accepting their responsibility to the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that they have been invested with. A lot of us as parents, we have children in front of us, but what good is it if you don't know how to teach them? If you don't know how to read their mind is even beyond Muslim parents. A lot of us as Muslims are giving up on our children. No, we're not taking them to the courthouse and saying to the judge, you take them, you deal with them. Some of us are. But we just have a posture of indifference to them. Well, if they don't want what we want, then to hell with them, you know. That kind of thinking, that kind of posture. But this book that we put together is filled with knowledge. It's filled with wisdom and understanding for a young man, I would say about 14 to about 25. A lot of people have bought it for their grown sons. I'm talking about 25 to 35. I mean, who needs the knowledge? Who needs to understand that this is where you are as a young man? This is what you need to be doing as a young man. This is how you need to be thinking about your life and responsibility. You know, a lot of these young brothers are becoming weak and existing in this Peter Pan-like existence because they have mothers and even fathers who refuse to let them grow up. They keep overloading these children with toys and games and trinkets and clothes. And you all have seen, as you have been out and about in the community, you'll hear a booming system coming down the block. You'll think it's some little young whippersnapper, as the old folks used to say. You think it's somebody 19, 20, 25 years old blasting the music. It'll be a doggone 70-year-old man, 50-year-old man driving around with the booming system, and he got on him some short pants and got on him some sandals and whatnot. You know, a lot of us as grown folk are very poor examples of what men look like in the black community. A lot of women today, a lot of grandmas today don't want to be identified as being old, but doggone it, you are getting older. It's an honor to get older. It's not a crime. It's something that I looked forward to when I was younger. You're not going to always be able to do what other folks do, but you can rejoice in that you can recall, if Allah helps you to maintain your mind,
You can recall the times that you weren't able to do this or able to do that. And so the book brings a young man to an awareness and a reality of the time and what must be done as you have now reached this 16-year-old, this 17-year-old. You can't get by off your wits all your life. You got to put something in your head. You got to be about something. You got to do something. You know, one of the points that we make in that book, Brother James, that people talk about whenever they read it, is the point where I quote a rap song, and I'm a big rap fan. I like rap music because it's instructive if you know how to use it. And there was a group, yes, sir, there's a group that P. Diddy came out with. I think he was directing them called Boys in the Hood. And there's a song that he did, and there was they star song. And the song said something along these lines. There's some boys in the hood that will sell anything for profit. On the corner, 5 o'clock, clocking. Yeah, we know we wrong, but we dare nigga to try to stop us. And you can get it anywhere, anybody. And the song goes on to talk about they drug, what kind of drugs are available. And I point out in the book, the line that they say that is so poignant, the line that they say that stands out, they said, we're on the corner clocking. And then they say, yeah, we know we're wrong, but we dare somebody to try to stop us. And I raise the question that's the whole point. You know you are wrong. Who is supposed to stop you when you have matured to the point where you know what you're doing is wrong? You have to be responsible enough to stop what you're doing that's injuring not just yourself, but injuring the larger community. And it's our failure, as the minister said, to accept our responsibility that has the community, particularly the black community in the state that it's in. No one wants to be responsible anymore. People have babies, and they let somebody else raise the babies. They bring the children to school and let the teacher, you deal with my kid. And that's what you bring to the school, a kid, because you haven't raised a human child. You raised a kid. And these children are out of control in these schools. Everywhere I go to speak, they give me audiences full of young people. I got a call last week, way down in this little county, they have to pipe sunlight into that county. It's so small. But they called me, brother, and they said, you got to come help us. These children are out of control. They don't have no respect. And you know where they're getting a lot of those negative attitudes from? From the parents. We put that crap into our children so blatantly. I've never seen it where we as adults now will go to a schoolhouse and immediately jump on the administrator's, the teacher's case, and we won't ever say to our child, well, what did you do? Is what the teacher's saying true about you? We're not in agreement with nobody. And so the book talks about being responsible, personal maturity. And then we move from that book to the next book, which is what do men and women really need from each other? Because we have to get beyond the physical. We have to get beyond the I want to make love in this club type of vibe that we're on. You know, we have to get beyond the sexual and get into who the real person is. We got to move beyond twerking. We got to move beyond the physical gyrating of a big behind. And we got to find out who the woman is. This is why our marriage retreat this year is called The Tremendous Value of Our Wives. Because maybe we sexualized our wives. Maybe we only see her value once the lights go out in the house. Maybe we don't see any value in her when the lights are on. Maybe we're cussing her. Maybe we're carrying on as grown men like we're little children. You know? It's a terrible thing when we are married and we don't have no communication other than what goes on in the bedroom. And look, you know we communicating in the bedroom because I don't care how bad things are, she keep coming up pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that's working. Y'all ain't talking, but when y'all get in the bedroom with each other, that's when some talking go on. We got to look at what we're doing as
yeah.
men and women who have entered into the process of marriage. The minister described marriage as sacred. He said it is sacred. And this is why Almighty God, Allah, he punishes so harshly anyone who will interfere with this process of marriage. He
yeah.
said that the adulterer was like a termite that was eaten away at the foundation of a marriage. And you know, adultery is what marks this generation of people who are entering into the process of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Continue, so, dear brother. Your impassioned appeal is extremely moving. I hope that no technical difficulties are barring our audience from hearing what you have to say. As I said on the outstart of the program, I loved the term in which you expressed your relationship with your beloved wife as being in the process of becoming married. And I think that really needs to be expounded upon, that marriage is a process. It doesn't happen after the utter of a preacher or pastor or judge that pronounces you man and wife, but you have entered into a process. I'd like you to expand on that. And I'd also, with all due respect, Brother Marcus, would love to hear from Sister Cecilia if she'd like to weigh in.
Okay. I don't know if you are hearing your phone, but you're going in and out on your phone again.
Okay.
I just wanted to point that out if you did not know. I'll point out to you very handedly that the wisdom that you hear anything.
Brother, Brother Marcus and Brother James, I'm sorry. I think that is that's a Blog Talk effect because we're hearing it from both of you. Just stand by 1 second.
Can you hear me better now?
I can
hear you, but you sound like you're talking through a fan, and that is an issue that's going on with Blog Talk.
Right.
It has nothing to do with your phone.
It must be, because you sound the same, Queen Aziza. But Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia, I'm hearing very clearly. But I think
okay.
it is a Blog Talk situation. Well, the truth passes on regardless to technical difficulty. Is that right, Brother Marcus?
That's right.
Praise be to
okay.
Allah.
Go ahead. Please proceed. Because we do have
okay.
some questions in the chat room. But go ahead. Let me get the screen back up. Because they told
okay.
me to refresh. So I'm just trying to hear and obey.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Go right ahead, Sister Cecilia, if you'd like to weigh in. And I want to state at this juncture, for those of you who may have just tuned in, our theme for this particular show is marriage, the cornerstone of community or family. And we are blessed to host our dear brother, Marcus Muhammad, and his wonderful wife, Sister Celia Muhammad, who have been dealing with the subject of marriage and courtship and the problems that lie therein, and the joy also that lies therein. So at this time, Sister Cecilia, if you'd like to join us.
Yes, sir. The reason why we say the process of marriage, because the Honorable Louis Farrakhan has guided us to understand that once we take our vows as husband and wife, you are beginning a process. You are not married. You are in the process of uniting the male and the female together. and knowing that we have been taught that the male, Allah created the male, and from studying the male, he brought forth the female, we know that we are dealing with two different natures all the way around, from how we communicate, how we do things, how we understand. And that's one of the things, by God's grace, we like to stress in our workshops that we do, whether it's on our show or whether it's coming to a city with workshops and training, to understand the dynamics and the importance of why the minister distinguishes and helps us to distinguish that the male and the female are not the same. And so he's telling us that we both come from the Supreme God. We both are coming from him, but the nature is different. And once we understand that the nature is different, husband, brother, when you tell your wife something, she's going to process it totally different from you. Your wife is not to become you. You're not to become your wife. You are two individuals coming together to become one in the sight of Almighty God. So therefore, that's not saying, okay, you have to change me, I have to change you. No, I have to love you for who you are, and you love me for who I am, and we grow together to understand what our roles and responsibilities and duties are to each other. And that's one of the biggest challenges, I think, is to understand that when you say that male and female are not like each other, we have to really sit down and study it and understand it and say, well, sister, when your husband says something or does something, he's not your son. He's not your little boy. He's a grown man. He's going to do what moves him to movement, to action. And for us as sisters, some of us don't understand that we're getting mad, we're getting frustrated. Well, I told him to do such and such, or I said this and he didn't do this, or da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, sister, wait a minute. If God, you were standing in front of Master Bar Muhammad and you mentioned to him kindly something, would you expect him to jump when you say jump? Of course not. But we forget the divine side of our husbands, and I think for a lot of us, that is one of the things that we're running into a brick wall with, is that we don't understand that if this man is the Khalifa, if he's the Vice Jared, and he's standing in the position of the God, he's a God standing in the position of the God, then we have to understand when you say something or do something, sister, we always hear that God says that he gives it to you on his own time. When he is ready, that's when certain things will occur. And for a lot of us right now, we're dealing with disappointment, we're dealing with frustration, but we're not understanding that there's a divine side to our husbands that have the same characteristics of the Supreme God. And once we begin to understand that, that brothers who are in the FOI class, who are under the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and they're striving to practice what they, listen to what I'm saying, they're striving to practice what they're being taught, then this man is in the process of growing into a God. And so if he's in that process, he is not someone that we can talk down to, that we can belittle, that we can, because again, he's growing into who he is in the eyesight of God. And I say this to a lot of our sisters because we have to understand that we can be nagging, we can be frustrating, we can be disappointed because we have an expectation that we want them to be at, well, I would like this or I would like that. But like, sister, there's a process that he's going through, because that's why I said again, if he is striving to be an example of what he is being taught. Now, of course, we have the other side where the minister said no woman is going to follow a fool. That's now, right. If you are a brother and you are a fool, then that means you're not applying that which the minister is imparting to us through our teachings and our training, because again, what we're taught, what we're instructed is for us to put into practice in our own personal lives. And for me and Brother Marcus, when people ask us, well, you know, y'all been married, you got married in 19, well, what helped y'all to be able to withstand so much and y'all got married so young? We respond to, we followed, we acted on what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan instructed on his male-female relationship tapes, instructions he have given us. If we follow what he said to do, we would be more successful.
Oh, that's beautiful, sis. Wonderful and inspiring advice. It really inspires a question that I think is on the minds of the listeners, and I'm sure it has come up on many occasions on your show. How important, since you've used the word divine, and of course we all know that divine pertains to that which is godly, how important is religion in the process of becoming married?
It is a key component. I mean, without God as the center in our marriage, the minister said if it were not for God, we would tire of each other because we're dealing with the surface person. But when you start to look at the person on their divinity of themselves, if they're striving to grow and mature into that, then we're more long-suffering. We can take more. But when we're focused so much on the world, we want everything instant, instant, instant. I want an instant marriage. Okay, this didn't work out. I don't like it. I'm moving on to the next one. But if we got God as our center and we focus on him when things are not going right, we go to our prayer rug separately and we go to our prayer rugs together to strengthen us to be able to withstand whatever comes within that relationship, whatever comes within our marriage, because, again, we are not sufficient for each other because our minds are full with Satan's world. It's full of Satan's mischief. So the only way that we can get a way out of that is to read and study and pray to give us the strength to go through what we're going to go through. We're not... Every marriage is going to go through something. It just depends on what degree or level that we're going to go through it, but we're going to go through it. And that's one of the things that we really came to an understanding of by God's grace last year's marriage retreat when we were on the cruise to Jamaica, Ocho Rios, and the Grand Cayman Islands as we were doing our workshop and we were listening and sharing with each other. No matter how many years, whether you're newlywed, whether you've been married a while, whether you've been married 20, 30, 40 years, everything that everyone spoke about, someone can bear witness that they went through the same thing. It's all about how we handle that situation when it comes up in our own marriages.
Excellent, dear sister. And while you're on that point of the marriage retreat, I'd like you to give out the information as to the upcoming marriage retreat and also the information on your show so that we can tune in to be enlightened in this subject matter.
All praise is due to Allah. The marriage retreat this year, we started off at the first annual marriage retreat. Brother James was held in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and we had a wonderful time there. And our sister coordinator, Sister Deborah, said, well, let's take it. We have been hearing, you have to understand that we've been hearing for years from believers since we've been in the nation that they ain't never nothing for married couples. It's always about single brothers and sisters. That's what the talk was. And so Sister Deborah she's a single sister, but she always has had married couples in mind, and she's do a lot of events for married couples. So she said, let's instead of going back to Pigeon Forge the second year, she said, let's do a cruise to the Bahamas. And we had a wonderful time then, and there were married couples all on the cruise ship. We had a blast. It was really wonderful, and we were respectful. We were dignified.
Anybody who saw us would have been proud of the way we tried to represent the minister with the class and dignity. Remember, Islam dignifies you. No matter where you are, you carry Islam with you. And the next year we went back, we went to on another cruise. We went to Jamaica, full of married couples again. This year, we had a wonderful time with both of those cruises. This year, we're returning to Pigeon Forge because, again, the time and what must be done. You know, a lot of couples just were afraid. You know, Muslims sometimes act like we believe in a spook God. You know, we act like Allah is only God on the land. You know, it bewilders me to hear husbands tell me that they wasn't coming on no sea because they ain't want the boat to sink and they had watched Titanic. This is ridiculous, and it really says that you really don't believe in what you have if you wouldn't go on a cruise with your wife to the Bahamas or to Jamaica to work on your marriage. And those who did, they all bear witness. We had a wonderful time, and the cruise ship was wonderful. This year we're going back to Pigeon Forge. Our website is www.pigeonforge.com. Inshallah, we're going back this year on September 12th through the 16th. That's September 12th. That's a week or two from now, September 12th through the 16th. That's getting there on a Thursday and leaving out on a Monday morning. And we have so many wonderful surprises and guests that are coming in to help this be successful. And I'm just so thankful to Allah that people, we are growing as believers to understand that Minister Farrakhan, we didn't marry him, you know. And that's one of the things that, you know, you have to at some point accept that Minister Farrakhan, he's married to Mother Khadija. They have to worry over their issues in their marriage. But you married James. You married Marcus. You married Tanya. You married Jennifer. You have to do the work that it's going to take to make your marriage be what it's supposed to be. Not put that at Minister Farrakhan's desk or on his doorstep and say, well, I'm waiting on him to do a marriage retreat. Well, if we're in his name and we're united in his spirit, do he have to be there in order for you to come and work on your marriage? Are you a personality worshiper? Are you a cultist? Is that what you are saying? I mean, anytime you need some kind of superstar to be present at a marriage retreat in order for you
Brother
to come,
Marcus?
Something's wrong with you. It really is. If that's
Brother
what
James?
You need to get you to work on your marriage, you got wives who want to talk, who want to explain how
is
they're feeling
there?
In their marriage. You got husbands that really need to hear their wives and to express what they're going through. And so one of the promises we made, Brother James, during the first couple of marriage retreats that we never got to fulfill until this year is that we were going to do weekly conference calls. And that's where the weekly conference calls
okay,
that we do come from. We are
if
not on Blog Talk Radio anymore because we changed our platform due to all the technical problems we continuously had on Blog Talk Radio. We switched to something called startmeeting.com. And anybody who
Brother
wants
John,
to
you can hear me,
find out about our shows, and
pad.
If you're not my Facebook friend,
well,
and that's
that
Brother Marcus Peace on Facebook, if you're not friends, please become my friend so you can see our advertised shows. My wife's name is Sister Cecilia Muhammad on Facebook, and you, Sister Cecilia A. Muhammad on Facebook, and
okay.
you can connect with her
the
and see our shows
working.
There as well.
So,
the show that we're doing this week, inshallah, brother is
Marcus.
Called Why Does Disunity and Estrangement Dominate So Many of Our Marriages and Relationships in 2013? Oh. About yourself and good about what you're doing. These are things that we have to pay attention to. Can you still hear me, Brother James?
Brother Marcus, can you hear me? Brother Marcus, can you hear me? Thank you. Brother Marcus. Brother James. Okay, listening audience, I'm going to give it two more minutes. If I can't get them back, please just join us tomorrow for Young Gifted in Black. But evidently we're having some technical issues that we are separated from the panelists and the host. So please stand by.
Brother James, Sister Aziza,
area code 513, can you hear me?
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum, can you hear me? Hi, Assalamu Alaikum.
Area code 513, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, ma'am.
Well,
Brother Marcus, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, ma'am.
All praises due to Allah. Okay. Brother James, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, all praises due to Allah. Oh, okay.
All right, we got it working.
All right, sister from area code 513, did you have a question for either Brother Marcus or Student Minister James?
I was just listening to the program. I was enjoying, you know, the program, and I was just wondering what happened. I've heard most of it, and I'm really enjoying it. I didn't have any
praises due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
I'll
yes, ma'am.
All right.
Well, thank you for being my soundboard while I was out, because if it were not for you, I wouldn't even know if you would hear me. So thank you, sister.
Well, all praise is due to Allah, yes, ma'am. Okay.
Well, very good. And the truth rolls on. Normally, this segment of the show would be dedicated to the time and what must be done. However, I cannot see that marriage not being an essential part and an essential subject matter of the time and what must be done. If we're talking about nation building and solidifying and firming up the black family and the black nation, then we have to talk about marriage. And Brother Marcus, Sister Cecilia, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah. They plan and Allah plans. And, of course, Allah is the best of planners. And
that's
so,
right.
Certainly, anyone who is listening can certainly call in, and we can talk about the 33rd segment of the Time and What Must Be Done lecture series. Of course, it is extremely, extremely important. But I'd like, if we could, Brother Marcus, Sister Cecilia, if your time and schedule permits, to stay on the line and continue our conversation.
Yes, sir.
All praises due to Allah. So, Sister Aziza, are there any now in the listening audience that would like to join us? Sister Aziza?
Yes, sir. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, yes, sir. Did you have a question for me? I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I wanted to know if there were any in queue, as well as on the line, who may be able to access, that would like to ask a question or make a comment on the subject matter, as well as the subject matter of the time and what must be done.
Yes, sir. Okay, area code 561. Your mic is live. Area code 561. Your mic is live.
First, I would like to give all praises due to Allah for coming to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. And I would like to greet my fellow brothers and sisters and believers with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. I don't necessarily have a question, but I have more of a statement. I'm not going to be long-winded because I had the same statement, conversation with a lost found brother. And what came to me out of that statement simply is that the reason why there is destruction of family, estrangement, and marriage, it is because simply, to me, rebellion against the law of Allah God in relationship to marriage. And I think that when we rebel against the law of Allah God in relationship to marriage, then it produces a ripple effect that we are now experiencing right now. I'm going to just say this briefly, Brother James, and maybe you can comment further on it. Most of us, for the most part, the basis of our attraction to a brother or to a sister is on a physical level. And sometimes when we attracted to a person on the physical level, or that attracts us to that person, and that person is attracted to us, and we are, and it arouses that sexual part of the nature of man and woman, then they forego the process of actually knowing the individual. So when that man or woman get into the process and they begin to mate or cohabit, and after those desires are fulfilled, then you start to see behavior in the man or behavior in the woman that you didn't know exist. So I think that if we as brothers or sisters help to try to keep that sexual part of our appetite in check, it allow us to judge and see what type of people we are getting into the relationship before they even get to that level. But yet sex is like any other intoxicant. It's like a drug. You know, it helps us to, it's an intoxicant, it's a drug. It puts us into a position where we don't see things as we are. We are drunken by the emotion or the display of the sexual appetite. And I would say this, Brother James, and I'm about to close out in what I'm saying. At the core and breakup of family, at the root of it, is Satan himself and him promulgating a world that forces the man to arouse the sexual part of his nature and forces the woman to display that and the human being or the human spirit or the divine nature of man and woman has never really been seen. So when that brother is hurt or when that sister is hurt or when you see that part of that sister after that fulfillment is done, then he's hurt. Then he comes up and teaches son, oh, all women ain't no good. All women are this. Or when that sister is hurt because she never knew the man that she got into the relationship with because the basis of the relationship was physical. All men are dogs, and we teach that to our children. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that the basic of national life or the basic unit of civilization is family. I would just like to say I thank Allah God for giving me this time to really just comment as a student and as a brother and with a critical problem in our community. But yet, I think Allah God has given us the solution to help solve. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters.
Wa alaikum salam. And dear brother, I thank you for your comment. I want to ask, though, what your name is, what city you're from. Your voice is very familiar.
Praise be to Allah. My name is Brother Jacoby X from West Palm Beach.
Oh, Brother Jacoby from West Palm. Yes.
Yes, sir.
excuse me for not recognizing it, Brother Jacoby.
No, all praise is due to Allah.
But wonderful comment, and I appreciate you directing your comment to me. However, with respect to our wonderful guest this evening, I'd like to redirect your comment to Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia for response if such they desire to do.
I think
Brother was very clear with what he came to tell us tonight, and just bears witness to the hour that we live in and the time and what must be done.
That's
you
right.
know.
Praise be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. Thank you so much, brothers, for just taking the time to help solve this problem. Assalamu alaikum, family.
Wa alaikum salam. And thank you, Brother Jacoby. And please give the believers in West Palm Beach my love and greetings, our love and greetings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Well, let's go on. Let's roll on. Brother Marcus, Sister Cecilia,
yeah?
You all have the floor.
Well, go ahead, Cecilia.
And what the brother just said, I think is a key component where why the minister does what he does with us as members in the Nation of Islam, where he asked us to sign our form fours to reinstate that we would follow the moral standards of the Nation of Islam, because again, that goes right in line with what our brother just said. We cannot build a strong nation and not have responsibility with our behaviors in and out of the mosque, because again, if you are a brother or a sister and we're living loosely where we don't care where we sleep, where who we are with, and we are producing children, that's why our rate of single moms is so high. That's why fathers rearing children by themselves are so high, because again, it is we have to take responsibility and say, I have not been responsible. First of all, like the minister said, as sisters, our first responsibility is to be responsible for who you choose to sleep with. If this man has not put as Beyonce song say, put a ring on your finger to say that he is committed to you, then we are doing ourselves an injustice, because we are giving this man ourselves for pleasure, for instant gratification, because again, you are drawn into a world that says you can do whatever you want to do because you grown. So in our mind, that means I can do whatever I want to do. Heck, everything is okay to do. If I want to sleep here tonight or sleep there tonight or be here tonight, I could be here or there. So the first responsibility really starts with us as sisters to say there is no room at the inn. You are not coming through these doors. You're not a doorknob. It has to be us as women taking responsibility to love ourselves, respect ourselves enough to make the man, demand that the man respect us and treat us like the God and goddesses that we are. And it's going to take some work because this devil has been busy for over 400 years. So we are beating against a concrete wall with several levels to it, but God came and bust up them walls when he came in person of Master Farad Muhammad. So we have to avail ourselves of these teachings to help us, to give us that whole armor of God so that we can battle the evils of this satanic world that says to a man, oh, a woman is a video vixen. Oh, she's bootylicious. I was looking on the internet today, and they're going crazy about what Miley Cyrus did, what Miley Cyrus did. And I said to my daughter, I said, let me look at what she did. And I looked at the video of what she did, and I said, well, wait a minute. I said, they're going crazy over what Miley Cyrus did, but on the same stage, I see thick, big behind black women doing the same thing, and there's no uproar about what they're doing, but they're uproar about what Miss Innocent Miley Cyrus is doing. And I'm like, there's no innocence in her. So if you're going to make an uproar, why not make an uproar about women twerking, period? But they didn't make an uproar about the black women because to them, she is the booty, like the Honorable Louis Farrakhan has told us over and over. So if she's the booty, you don't respect that. You don't treat her a certain kind of way. You use her, abuse her, and throw her away. So we as women have to change that mentality and respect ourselves and make this world respect us by following what we've been taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad through Minister Farrakhan.
Thank you, dear sister. That is absolutely correct. And what that speaks so loudly of is the devalued state of perception that's being propagated by the broader society of the black woman. However, when a white woman does something like that, this is indeed worthy of attention, worthy of an uproar. You are absolutely right. And many of us will see that with such an insightful eye, so I appreciate you bringing that point out. I want to ask of both of you, relating to the time and what must be done, particularly the last installment given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, wherein he states in part of the message, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said when black people in America only numbered 22 million, that we had become a nation within a nation, but a nation completely dependent on our former slave masters and their children to provide us with jobs, education, and sustenance. Let's look at that. You know, 50 years ago, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes, when the historic March on Washington took place, the cry at that time was for jobs and justice. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said then that America as a nation would not be able to furnish enough jobs for her own millions of unemployed and then furnish jobs for us and our population, which was continually increasing. 50 years later, we are now at nearly 50 million black people in America in a completely dependent condition at a time when the economy of America and the world is in a steady decline. Now, my dear brother and sister, what is a reality is that which erodes a marriage is the inability to sustain economics in the family, particularly and specifically with emphasis on the reality that the black man finds it very difficult to find, and then finding one, maintain adequate employment. The Honorable Melissa Lewis Farrakhan is pointing out that there are no jobs. And if they are, they're going to be offered to America. And when I say America and Americans, I'm referencing white people. We are still today the first hired and the last, or the first, I'm sorry, the last hired and the first fired. So in accepting this reality in terms of it being the truth and the fact that the lack of jobs, the lack of employment, the lack of economy is one of the main reasons why marriages deteriorate. How do we address this problem and how do we navigate through it successfully as a married couple?
Well, that's a very wonderful question, Brother James, especially in this day and time. One we will be addressing this weekend, inshallah, on our program that we wish to have with our show, Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia's show. Finances are very, very important to a marriage. And if a brother sees that his employment is threatened at this job or that job, then he needs to be quick to put some things in place that will afford him the opportunities to do what he wants to do for himself. I've been working, by Allah's grace, for myself for a great number of years, doing the work that I do with young people and with adults and what have you. And I like being my own boss. I like calling my own shots, and I like standing in front of young people to talk to them. That's really my specialty. That's really what I love to do, is help prepare the future leadership of the world through these young people. And I say that to say that I found my passion, one of the things that I'm, I believe in the world to do, which is to motivate and stimulate and get young people to observe and to think about their lives in a very meaningful way. You know, you and I, we can't be the type of men that because something was a setback, because we lost our job, the family still got to eat,
That's right.
And, you know, you may have a tolerant wife for a while, but at a certain point, she gonna get that look on her face, and she gonna get that attitude and that disposition of, I gave you sympathy the first month or two, but now you got to get up and do something. You got to do something quickly. Otherwise, we're going to be put out on the street. You know, we ain't going to have nowhere to stay, you know. And it's a heck of a thing for us as men to marry a woman and she move over all the way from where she is to where we are, and then we depending on a job to keep her in light of what the minister said. You know, the minister's forecasting what's coming, whether it's in your life now or not. You better be preparing for the day when you're going to get that pink slip, brother. You know, you have to be prepared, sister, for that day when the pink slip might come to you. Are you living beyond your means? Are you living within your means? Are you living, as they're saying in the South, go high off the hog? I know we don't eat hog, but you know, the whole idea of you can't be out here buying all this stuff that you don't need. You can't be trying to look at what Rasul and Muhammad over there is doing, and you ain't got nothing like that. You got to look at what your reality is along with your wife, and you all got to be honest. Sometimes you got to scale back, and then you may have to scale back some more, and you may have to scale back some more. You may not be able to afford the house that you're living in no more. You know, so what do you do? Is your pride going to go before destruction? Are you going to try to hold on to a house that you ain't making enough money to keep? Your mortgage is $1,500, but you barely bringing in $1,000. And that's not even on top of all the other bills that are now a part of what you have to deal with. Maybe you can't afford the second car. Maybe you can't afford. I mean, you have to look at realities. If the minister is dealing with reality
every believer, every couple who is a believing couple should be looking at their own reality and asking ourselves, are we keeping it real in this marriage? Are we looking at reality? You can't live like you still got it going on. Maybe 5 years ago you had it going on. Maybe money was rolling in tough. I mean, you had maybe thousands. Maybe you had bread and you were living good like Huxtables. Maybe that's how you had it going on. But you ain't got it going on like that no more. It's very few people who actually got it going on like that nowadays. So we got to be honest with ourselves, and we have to be honest with our wives and our husbands. We have to have real conversations, and we have to look at what can we cut back on. If the minister is talking about cutting back, we have to all ask ourselves, what can we cut back on? What can we do without? What can we do? We really got to get a $190 pair of shoes for our sons. Can we afford it? You know, and then with children, because I really wanted to talk with you all tonight about rearing children. Because a lot of the expenses come from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times as parents, we don't want to admit or be honest about because many of us, we're so busy trying to live our childhood over through our children and give them what we never had. Well, you could give them what you never had without going broke and bankrupt to do it. You know, and I just say, you know, as we look at what the minister is saying, brother, to me, when I hear him say that, I think about, how are we going to make it in the next 5 years? You know, how are we going to survive? See, this is the time for us to pull together as family. We don't need to be estranged from one another when times is getting hard like this. You know, this is the time when we need to be mending relationships. We need to be getting with our brothers and getting with our sisters and mothers and our family members and saying, look, y'all, this is what, I know you don't listen to Minister Farrakhan, but this is what he's saying is coming. You know, there's a story about the ant and the grasshopper. And that's really the story of black people. I know you've probably heard it, Brother James, 1,000 times. But for the benefit of your audience, in a nutshell, the story about the grass and the grasshopper and the ant goes like this. The ant worked all during the summer. I mean, he was putting food away. He was storing up. He was putting food away. And the grasshopper just looked at him one day. He was like, man, what you doing? You crazy out here. The grasshopper was smoking a joint. He was smoking Swisher Sweet. You know, and he saw this ant working all hard and began to cuss him. Man, you a fool, man. You need to be on the beach. These girls is twerking over here, you know. And so the ant told the grasshopper, nah, I ain't doing none of that. I got things I need to be about taking care of business. And so the grasshopper said, well, later for that, I'm going to keep on partying and having a good time. And so the scene switches. It's now the winter time. And the grasshopper is all but dead. He ain't got no food. Ain't got nothing, no place to stay too tough, you know. And he's hungry, and he tries to go find the ant. He catches up with him, and the ant tells him, you know, what's the matter, grasshopper? There ain't no more parties to go to. Ain't no more this to go to. Ain't no more switch to sweet. Ain't no more joints to smoke. And the grasshopper saying, please let me in. Please let me in. And he tells him, no, I ain't letting you in. I just have enough for me and my family. You know, you ought to be about, you should have been about taking care of your business. And that's a lot of us as black people. You got money now. You should be putting up, what can you invest your money in? So if the day comes when you don't have that job anymore, that you could fall back on something. In the nation of Islam, Brother James, as Allah God is my witness, I have learned so much in the nation of Islam that I did not know before I walked through those doors. Right now, I am a writer. I have published 2 books in the nation. I know how to work a computer excellently by Allah's grace. Never went to no classes, but I learned how to use them because I needed to learn. You know, I have also, by Allah's grace, published my own newspaper. You know, me and my children, we have learned how to produce CDs. We make our own CDs. We produce them. We sell them right at Savings Day and all over the community and the black community. We get out and hustle, you know. And I'm telling you that a lot of us, we look down on hustling. We done lost hustling. We don't hustle no more. We got this little attitude against hustling, like it's beneath us or something. But, you know, closed mouths don't get fed on this boulevard. That's what the rap is. They're talking about hustling hard, you know, and that's true. You got to hustle nowadays. You got to get your righteous hustle on. Yeah, you got a job, but it ain't paying enough. So you need to invest some of that money and get your little product and sell it. Go to the beauty salons. Go to the barber shops and sell what you got. Make a business card. You know, and tell folks what you're doing and how to connect with you. You got Facebook, but you on there talking about stuff that don't matter at all. I wish I would get on Facebook and argue with somebody about something. The minister's giving us an invincible truth.
That's right, brother.
I ain't got time to argue with nobody. You know? So I'm just saying that we got to get back to hustling. I know at one point you came to Atlanta a lot. Every time I saw you, Brother James, you were always immaculately dressed. You always was sharp. You was selling. You was looking at the part of a Muslim. And I know you skilled with the sales game.
Yes, sir. By Allah's grace, brother.
By Allah's grace. Yes, and I've been fed you and your family many days.
Mm-hmm. All praise is due to Allah. Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So we're just trying to say to the people, man, you know, don't be too proud that you can't get your sales on it. If that's one, and that's just one level of it. Of course, there's other stuff that's multi-level this, multi-level that, you know. And I'm tired of all of that. I'm just really sick of it, you know. Please don't come to me with no multi-level anything. You know, I know one thing that works, Brother James, and that's getting out there in the street hustling. I don't, all
that's
that multi-level stuff or multi-level marketing, ultimately, you making somebody else rich and you got to do a certain amount of volume and you got to do a certain amount of this in order for you to get paid off of it. And I'm just saying to you and I that we need to find something that's going to make us money instantly, right here, right now, versus, the multi-level marketing approach, unless you find something that's really working and that you can recoup what you put into it. You know, we do a little of that, but the majority of what we do outside of the regular thing, the motivational speaking and training, is really working outside with the people in order to survive out here. And you can't survive if you and your husband work together, you and your wife work together, stop arguing and bickering with one another about the fact that it ain't no money and use what you got to get what you want.
Yes,
the dollar is the power. Say that with me, audience. The dollar is the power. If you got talent in the kitchen, if you can make bean pie, if you can make a good bean pie, good tasting bean pie, and make it consistently taste like it's supposed to taste, you know, then get out there with a bean pie. You should make your goal to make $100 a day in liquid cash. You know, you should get you some customers. You should remember the Exodus program. If we would have done that the way the minister had guided us to do it, where would we be today? With 100 solid customers under our belt.
That's right, brother.
Where would we be? And all
That's
those
right.
years, those people would have been with us. What would they have not have bought off of us at this stage of our lives? It's not too late. We can do it if we will to do it. We just got to get back to willing action. We've done a lot of talking in the nation. Now we got to do some acting.
Wonderfully put, Brother Marcus. A wonderful and simple, but wonderful, inarguable truth, dear brother. And I can attest, man, that nothing beats that hand-to-hand combat, if you will, in sales. Nothing beats that, dear brother. I have to bear witness to what you're saying. So let's continue on. I wanted also, if you could speak to, and of course you've mentioned the children, but I want you to just offer some advice for those who find themselves in the throes of economic trouble that's troubling their marriage. Give some advice, Sister Cecilia, to the women, and Brother Marcus to the men, in terms of enduring until we implement the wonderful advice, the inarguable advice and methodology you have offered us just then.
Yes, sir. I'll go first, just for our brothers to think about. You know, brother, you're the leader of the home, and where there is no vision, or at least we're supposed to be, let me say it like that, whether you want the job or not, your wife expects you to be the leader of the home.
That's right.
I'm going to say that to you again. She expects that. I don't care what culture you in. I don't care really what race you are born. Your wife will expect you as the man to be the leader of the home. She expects you to bring a vision to the home. She wants to look to you for leadership, buddy. You know, one of the topics we're dealing with at this year's marriage retreat, Brother James, is husbands that will not lead and wives who will not follow.
Yes, sir.
She can't follow you if you ain't going nowhere and if you ain't talking strong enough. If your vision is not strong enough, how do you expect it to find a firm resting place in her heart and in her mind? She can't do that. You know, and a man got to lead it. Many of us, we get married and we don't understand leadership. We don't understand that there's an expectancy of you as the man to lead this thing. Tell me what we, why say to me, I want my husband to tell me what we're doing. You know, you can't go from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year without no plan. You got to put something in front of her so she can feed that to the children. She's got to know where we're going.
Yes, sir.
That's leadership. And you got to take time to go within yourself and go into the recesses of your mind. You and God got to come up with something. You got to beg him, please, Allah, guide me to a vision. Guide me to that which will help us to get and receive your help. And Allah, he may look at you and say, she's laying next to you in the bed. Your wife is not a dummy. Your wife got plenty of sense, plenty of good ideas, plenty of things that you all could do, but maybe your ego is out of control as the husband. Maybe you think you know everything. Maybe you think that she's just a little lady that ought to listen to what you got to say, and you ain't telling her nothing.
Mm.
That's a terrible thing for you as a man to think that all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the understanding got to come through you. As if she ain't got a brain at all. And this is the case in so many marriages. You know, the husband sits down like he's the grand mufti. He sits down like he worked a little $9 job and it ain't really paying none of the bills in the house. And he sits down on the couch and watches ESPN religiously. That is his religion. On Sunday, that's where he's stuck home on Sunday. He don't even attend mosque no more. He's stuck home watching TV, watching the football games. And that wife should just, you know, you better be careful dealing with a woman. A woman will, she'll turn up on you in a heartbeat.
Go ahead,
these
brother.
MGT that's being trained by the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, they ain't putting up with no mess.
That's
they
right.
ain't putting up with you and me not producing and then still expecting everything to be the way it's supposed to be. We have work to do on ourselves as men. And I say to you, brother, if you're struggling, don't blame your wife. Don't start looking at her and saying, it's your fault that I'm suffering. No, blame yourself. Ask yourself, when was the last time you've been to FOI class? Blame yourself. When was the last time you read a book? How the hell can you lead a family and you don't read nothing? As a man, your house should be filled with books and knowledge. The Honorable Louis Farrakhan, your teachers say everything that you want to know is in a book.
That's right.
Everything. He did not lie to us. Everything that I want to know, that was so beautiful for him to expose that to my young, ignorant mind. Because maybe you are like me. I was so completely dumb when I accepted Islam. I didn't know how deep my dumbness went.
Mm.
But gradually following the minister, he's been bringing me out of my dumbness on everything. You know, women expect something of you when you say you a man. They expect more. As the minister said, you got to be more than just good in the bed. He said you got to be good in the head. You gotta be able to work with a woman's mind. And brother, woo, you don't know who you are until you start dealing with her mind.
That's right, brother. Make it plain,
brother. You think you're working her behind? No, getting that mind. Oh, you really working something then. The mind of a woman is something serious. And many of us as men, that's the thing we run from tremendously. We run like hell when we have to confront the mind that God put in her. God gave her that kind of mind. She's not like us, as my wife was saying. See, I could be cool if the lights was out for a week with no running water for a week. I could be cool with that perhaps as a man. But the woman, who hell no. She ain't happy with that at all. She's like, but listen, you've been went to sleep, Brother James. At 4 a.m, you sleep snoring. You know, it'll wake you up. What are we going to do about this light, man?
Go ahead, Brother Marcus. Tell the truth, Kevin. I mean, that's
she
the reality.
She like, we're mad at all. Yes, we can be cool. We clothes thrown everywhere. She'll go along with it for a second, but that nature will kick up in that woman. And I think that's what many men, we running from that. Many of us as men, we're so victimized by our own childhood. That's why we need auditing, because we're so messed up in our childhood. We're so needy.
Yeah.
We're so needy as men. We need, you know, here's a grown damn man. What's the rapper name? I don't really want to. What'd he say? I need love and affection. Love. What the hell is that? But, you know, he really saying a very powerful truth. He's saying that the black man needs love and affection. But you know what? A woman ain't going to be willing to offer you that if you can't bring them to the table.
That's right.
I mean, these sisters tell me nowadays they don't want to raise a grown man.
They don't
want to have 3 children and add a half for the man. They don't want to do that no more. But I tell you what, sister. Because you're not off the hook either. There's a lot you can do to help a man. One of the first things you need to do is report back to MGT class and learn how to care for your husband. You really need somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about to be in front of you to lead you in that discussion. Because taking care of a man is serious business. And if you take care of a man right, that man will stand on his head for you. If you're taking care of him right. And I ain't just talking about, oh, I gave it to him real good last night. I ain't talking about that. No sexual healing either. I'm talking about taking care of that man's mind. Because that's what those brothers need from a woman. We need somebody to take care of our mind because we already know we crazy. We need somebody who can help us to become a little less crazy. We need a woman that's talking about how can I ease the pain, not add to it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes skill to be with the black man. And the more skillful you are as a black woman, you can keep a black man with you. A black man is a wonderful, wonderful man to have by your side. But you got to learn how to deal with him. He's a lion. And a lot of sisters have started treating that lion like a pussycat. Because he ain't roared in a while. It's been a while since you've seen that black man roar, but that roar is in him. Killing is in him. The nature that Allah gave him is in him.
Go ahead, Brother Mark.
But you got to know how to caress that nature, because that nature is not to harm you. That nature is to protect you, not to be beating you upside your head because your mouth is so out of control, sister. You got to learn how to caress him. You got to learn how to ease his mind and put in him the thoughts, like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. He said something so valuable in that little book called The Proper Handling of People. He said you have to master the art of making the man feel like it was his idea when it came from you all along.
Mm-hmm.
You got to learn how to plant things in your husband. You got to learn how to build him up. You got to learn how to be enthusiastic about what he's doing. You're not into your man. That's why your man is going in the way he's going. You didn't let your man go. Maybe he doesn't have enough pizzazz for you. Maybe he ain't thuggish enough for you. Some sisters don't appreciate a good black man by their side. They punk him out. They get all in his face. They start threatening him, telling him what they ain't going to go for, what they ain't going to do. And see, you can't treat the black man any old kind of way and think he going to snap back and be what you want him to be. You got to build the black man into what you want him to be. And when you see he's going through some trouble, we did a show last week. I'd recommend that you listen to it. It's called Is Your Man, Is Your Husband, Is He Going Through a Depression?
Yeah.
Is he depressed?
I listened to that show, dear brother. Very
yes,
rewarding.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
A lot of sisters don't even know that their husband could be depressed. You know, a man can't take not working. If you got a man that's been working all his life pretty much, and now all of a sudden he falls into a state where he's not able to get a job or isn't working, that does something to his spirit. That does something to his mind when he's not able to produce.
That's right.
When he's not able to be the man. You know what I'm talking about, Brother James? I don't know if you've ever been through that.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about there, brother. I mean, I'm 64 years old. There's not much in the way, and been married by the grace of Allah to the same wonderful MGT for 31 years.
Come on now.
Yeah. So by Allah's grace, dear brother, all of what you have stated, I've experienced. And Allah has blessed us through the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to get through these problems. They're real problems. But they're not death-dealing problems unless, of course, you allow it to be. And this is why this kind of forum, this kind of subject matter that you're bringing at this time is extremely important, extremely important. We got to survive as a family. We can't talk about nation building if we're not surviving as a family.
Right.
And we certainly can't talk about nation building if we're unwilling to educate ourselves about our women and about the men. We must know each other in the nature in which Allah God created us and then operate according to the dictates of that nature and the subsequent or attending obligations and responsibilities imposed on us by the nature in which Allah God created us. I mean, this is extremely important, dear brother. It's real. So
yes.
I'd like to, we're very inspired by your words. I'd like, if you don't mind, dear brother, to hear from our sister, your wonderful wife.
She ready.
We move towards the close of this show. Sister Cecilia?
Yes, sir.
Same question.
Anything you'd like to say in the closing minutes of this show?
The closing minutes of this show, to thank you and your listening audience so much for inviting us on this evening. And again, brothers and sisters, we have to be on several levels of preparation in building a strong family. If we're single, brothers and sisters, to start to strengthen your relationship with Allah, your personal relationship with Allah, so that you begin to know who you are, where you're going, how you're going to get there, and who is going to help you to get there. These are the things that will help to prepare you for that future husband and wife. And I always like to tell our single brothers and sisters, how you begin a thing will determine what your end result is. If you go into a relationship looking for courtship and your mentality is you're looking for a lifetime companion, you're going to examine them differently than someone who goes into it saying, well, if this doesn't work out, I have an A, B, C, D plan. We have to change our mentality about marriage. It is the cornerstone. Being single is not the way to be. It's a preparation to prepare yourself for one day being married to that special brother or that special sister. And I don't buy into the hype that they like to promote that there's no such thing, there's no good black men out there, or there's no good this or no good that. Everyone needs someone to stand by their side and be able to weather the storm with them. And as the brothers in the street like to say, they want that ride or die chick. And that's what sisters we have to begin to be. We have to be that cheerleader. We have to be the admirer. We have to be the consoler. Whatever that black man needs, we can be that. But also know, brother, that that which you need from her, Allah already naturally put it in her, and you have to acquire the skill, the wherewithal to mine it out of her. Because, again, she was created to be the helpmeet of a God. And that's what you must remember, the helpmeet of a God. And the minister has told us, brother, no matter how much money your wife brings in to the house, it is the man and how you lead that home spiritually that will help to uplift it. Her money, yes, that's a means of making you comfortable, of being helpful, but if she brings in more money than you, what? Well, how do you deal with that? How do you go up against that? You be the ruler you're supposed to be, coming from the divine nature that Almighty God puts you in, because the money is just a means of your family going forward. And that's for a lot of brothers. And another thing I like to tell our brothers is, wherever you are financially, find the sister who can meet you where you are and you grow together. Don't have an income of $20,000 and you looking for a $70,000-$80,000 sister. That's not going to work. You got to find that sister who's going to work with you and respect you where you are. And so, again, we love you, family. We thank you, and we thank Allah for just giving us the blessing of being in this beloved nation.
And we love you all both for being our brothers and sisters, but also for the wonderful advice and the undertaking of dispensing this information, this much-needed information, to our people and to the world, whoever would be willing to listen. Sister Aziza. I know she's busy working out the technical aspects of the show, the engineering aspects of the show. I want to say at this point, I want to express
my
gratitude.
I'm here.
Okay. Well, now you just interrupted me about to talk about you. So what I wanted to do is publicly thank you for this wonderful forum that you have given me personally on this show, and the great avenue through which you are facilitating the truth being dispensed all over the nation and all over the world. I want to thank you personally for that. I want to also thank our listening audience. You've been very, very wonderful to participate and to endure the technical difficulties that we have experienced. And week after week, you return. You have grown the show in terms of participation and numbers, really exponentially, and we say all praise is due to Allah for you, dear listening and participating audience.
And lastly, of course, our esteemed guests, Brother Marcus and Sister Cecilia, please let us hear that information regarding the retreat, how to contact you, as well as the information about your show every Sunday.
Yes, sir. Thank you again, Brother James and Sister Aziza. Thank y'all very much for the opportunity to come on your wonderful programs and to share. Sister Aziza and me go back like what do they say, Cadillacs?
Like Afro Pitch and Ultra Sheen.
Now that's going back a piece.
Yes, ma'am. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you all again and to share with you that our show this weekend is going to be entitled, or it has been titled, Why Does Disunity and Estrangement Dominate So Many of Our Marriages and Relationships? It's really a show on estrangement and how deep that thing really is. It's going to be a very powerful show, and I encourage you all to tune in. You can go right to my Facebook page, Brother Marcus Peace. If you're listening right now, you can become my Facebook friend. And I hope that, Sister Aziza, if you can share that in your avenues and what have you, just to promote it to our people, because we need to understand that we are creating some real problems for ourselves, even with our own children. Estrangement is something that can happen even with them.
Yes, sir. Well, Brother Marcus, that we have a lot of people that had questions in the chat room. There are about 67 questions. So I just typed them a note to have them tune in to your show on Sunday, and they can ask their questions of you on that evening. Because of the technical difficulties, there were several interruptions, but surely I have referred them to your show on Sunday, and inshallah, you'll be able to engage their questions at that time.
Yes, please do, and thank you, Sister Aziza. That's how we have to roll in 2013. We're all in this together. That's our motto and mantra. We are all in this thing together. I also wanted to add that the fourth annual marriage retreat now, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to tell you that we have sold out. We don't have any more room left for anybody to attend. It has been completely booked and sold out. By Allah's grace, coming back to Pigeon Forge was a very good move, and a lot of couples who've been wanting to attend the retreat decided to join us. We have a great contingency coming out of Philadelphia. Philadelphia will be in the house. Atlanta, Georgia will be in the house very strong as well. And the believers are joining us from far away, as Jacksonville and New Jersey and New York, and, you know, from all over the country, they're coming in. And you know, we have to mature. We have to mature to understand that we are the ones who married our spouses, and that if the minister got to come and tell us to do every single aspect of our marriage, then he might as well marry our wives. You know, if he got to come himself, then we got a problem. We got to stop being a personality worshiper. Jesus said in the Bible, "Follow me. Follow me so that where I am, you may be." And that's the same thing the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is saying to us in 2013. Follow me, you know, and do what the man is asking us to do. So the website for it, in case you want to check it out, is www.blackmarriageretreat.org. Again, that's www.blackmarriageretreat.org. If you and your spouse need counseling, marital counseling, Cecilia and I do a great deal of that by Allah's grace. We do it via the telephone because we like to keep costs down, and the telephone is very effective for dealing with couples. Now, we don't do one-on-one with marriage problems. We deal with both you and your spouse, and we do counseling together. So
I'm saying that to say that if you and your spouse are having some issues and you want to try to work it out in a fair and just manner, because the only side we're on, we're not on the brother's side and we're not on the wife's side. We're on the side of truth, and that's what we're trying to listen for. And so I want you to know that you can call for marriage counseling at 404-542-3929. That's 404-542-3929. You can visit us on our website at marcusandcecilia.com. That's www.marcusandcecilia.com. And you can check us out. We'd be very happy to come to your city to do a marriage improvement seminar and a single success seminar. And we do them both simultaneously, and we have a great time when we do it. We're scheduled for a number of cities coming up in November, inshallah. So thank you again very much, and I'm sorry if I went over the time.
Not at all, dear brother.
No problem.
Not at all.
We go over time all the time.
That's right. That is right.
Yes,
Sister Abiza, if you'd like to give us the lineup.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central for Young, Gifted, and Black. And Brother Ronnie and Sister Yatira have put together a wonderful program about self-improvement, self-development, and what the students should be focusing on as they return to school, back to school this fall. So they have really worked hard. I'm so proud of the young people, the youth. That's what we have to do. We have to give our babies the baton and let them run with it, and they are doing a magnificent job. And I am just so proud. I feel like the little mother hen over here. But, yes, that's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central, and on Sunday at 6:30, excuse me, join Brother Vernon for No Romance Without Finance. Of course, he's going to be talking about trade and commerce. And on Monday at 8 o'clock Central, join us for Conscious Black Nation with Brother Kareem. I forgot what he told me the topic was. He's going to kill me. But join us at 8 o'clock for Conscious Black Nation. And on Tuesday, due to the Believers meeting, we will have a rebroadcast. And, of course, Brother Jihad is out of the hospital. Toodle, yay. All praises to Allah. Yes.
My,
so next week, not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday, our brother will be live, up close and personal. All praises due to Allah. He's been on a long journey, but Allah has made it where our brother is going to be back with us in full effect. So I am so happy about that. And on Wednesday, join us for DJ Black Caesar and Friends at 7 o'clock p.m. Central. And on Thursday, I will be back at 8 p.m. Thursday night with Divided by Faith. This is a show I have long looked forward to. We're going to have people, of course, ministers of the Nation of Islam. We're going to have some Baptist ministers. We're going to have Brother Kadu from, I forgot what his religion was. But we're going to do at least four different religions that black people in particular follow, and we're going to figure out why we're so divided, because we are divided by faith, but we are bound by circumstance. So we are going to extend our hands across the aisle of faith and create brotherhood amongst our people. So inshallah, we'll be hearing from them on Thursday at 8 p.m. And of course on Friday next week, Brother James, we'll be right back here with you. We'll put on the new man, our live study group. And that's the lineup for the rest of the week.
Thank you so very much, dear sister. And thank you, Brother Marcus, Sister Cecilia. And a big thank you to our beloved listening and participating audience. May Allah continue to bless us all in this pursuit of truth. We want to mention that we must tune in tomorrow, 6 p.m. Central Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's 34th installment of The Time and What Must Be Done. And I hope we got those bowls, those bottles, those cans, whatever, and we're putting in those nickels and dimes, quarters, dollars, if you will, in support of the economic blueprint reintroduced by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's economic program. And we'll be discussing that in full, by the grace of Allah, next week. Tune in. Thank you again. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Praise be to Allah.